This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
That's the first song I remember them singing when they first came to America. The I Want to Hold Your Hand. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works. We will hold your hand for the next hour if you'd like us to. Welcome to the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. A lot going on. Thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, March the 13th. In a few minutes, Leah Palagashvili of George Mason University's Mercatus Center is going to be here. And we are going to talk with her about a new federal rule that she says will limit job opportunities for what are called gig workers and independent contractors. So stay tuned for that just a few minutes. And the House getting ready to pass a bill that would divest TikTok from its Chinese owners. So what does that mean for the users of TikTok? We are going to take a look. And former special counsel Robert Hur says no, he did not exonerate Joe Biden from the way he handled classified documents. But is the current president getting special favorable treatment as opposed to the document case against Donald Trump? We are going to talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we have been hovering around movies last few shows. Today, the top 10 all-time greatest movie detectives. Movie detectives. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For the best haircut for men in Tampa Bay, I believe it's Andrew's Master Barbershop. I've never found a better place. They are located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. Please call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And if you need any kind of tree service at your place, whether it's your business or your residence or whatever, Arbor Life Tree Service, Tampa Bay's premier tree service, whether it's tree removal, tree enhancement, stump grinding, you name it, Arbor Life does it best. Call for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So right now, as we talk, the House is voting on a bill that could ban TikTok. And so far, the yeas are 40 and the nays are 7. So it looks like the House will pass that bill. It would require TikTok to be divested from its Chinese parent company, which is called ByteDance. Or it would face a ban in the United States because of national security concerns. The bill is called the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. PAFACA. Whatever. Anyway, it was introduced by Republican Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin and a Democrat, Raja Krishnamurthy from Illinois. So it's going to get bipartisan support. The question is whether or not it will advance in the Senate as well. If enacted, the bill would give ByteDance 6 months to sell TikTok to somebody outside of China. And if it does not do so, U.S. companies that operate app stores, you know, like Google and Apple, or host websites, would be required to ban TikTok. So the question is whether or not TikTok has a right to exist.
No.
And a lot of people think, yes, you have to be careful with them, especially if it connects to government. But
yeah.
Go ahead, Ed. What do you think?
You have to remember, this was the application that put on its social media outlet for illegal aliens where the hole is in the fence. How to hook up with people to get them across the border. Can you imagine Facebook doing that? That people would be up in arms. And why should TikTok be any different?
Mm-hmm.
And remember all the TikTok challenges for the kids? Hey, try drinking a gallon of bleach and see if you're buzzed.
Did they really say that?
Well, I mean, there was so many TikTok challenges out there that just went unmonitored. And everything there is unmonitored.
Yeah, I understand that.
And it's a kid's outlet. But if you notice now on TV, they're running a lot of commercials for TikTok.
They are.
I'm a doctor. Yeah. I'm a little old grandma. You know,
there's been a huge push.
TikTok, you know,
they're trying to get the kids and the people that use TikTok to revolt against this ban.
But can you?
There's no question about that.
Can you imagine if Facebook or Instagram gave terrorists an avenue on how to take us down? Which is exactly what TikTok was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's run by the Chinese. And do you know that in China doesn't allow the version that we see
yes,
in China
I've heard that
to its
too.
Own people?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of good reasons for wanting to force them to divest. It always comes down to, in a free market, even though you might not like their politics, do we have the right to say, we think your politics are wrong, and you are owned by somebody we think might be our enemy, so therefore we are going to shut you down.
I would give TikTok another avenue. I would say, listen, if you don't adhere by rules, I'll tell you what. Why don't you open up the same version that you have in the United States into China? Do this. Let them see what we see as part of the deal, and I bet you they don't go for it.
Yeah. I have, as you can tell, I have feelings both ways on this, but I think I tend to side with what you're saying. It's like floating that balloon over our country, as they did. There is something, untoward about having something like this floating around inside of our country. And I am concerned about some of the things that they say and the way that they will construe things. And I do think they need to be monitored. Maybe this is the best way to say, look, you can continue, but you can't have the Chinese. We don't want a country that seems to be surveilling us all the time running this app. We just are not comfortable with that. Now, are you willing to honestly divest yourself of this?
If their argument is there's nothing wrong with what we're doing in the United States, fine. And open up the same version in China.
Yeah.
And let's see how you feel
now. I think you make a good point. Now, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, he's a Democrat. He has not indicated what his plans will be for bringing up this bill in the Senate. And I wonder what good old Joe Biden will do. I don't even know if he understands what TikTok is, although I got the impression that the administration was using TikTok to advantage.
There was a thing on it said that Joe Biden hates TikTok because he hates looking at the clock.
That's a good reason, Joe. All right, let us take our break. I cannot wait to talk with Leah Palagashvili from the Mercatus Center. We are going to talk with her about a new federal rule that she says would limit job opportunities for so-called gig workers and independent contractors.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. It's Wednesday. And delighted to have Leah Palagashvili join us. She is a senior research director at George Mason University's Mercatus Center. And she focuses there on entrepreneurship, regulation, and the gig economy. Leah, welcome to FreedomWorks.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, it's our pleasure.
Hi.
It's our pleasure to have you. We're going to talk with you, of course, about this new rule, apparently from the Department of Labor. I think it went into effect Monday. It reclassifies, and correct me if I'm wrong, it reclassifies certain workers as employees or independent contractors. Is that correct?
That's right. The Department of Labor rule it will make it more difficult to engage in freelancing, gig work, or other types of self-employed work across all professions and occupations, no exemption nationwide. So they limit the circumstances under which a worker can legally be an independent contractor in the country.
Okay. So they're trying to, what is the intent here? Is the intent to help unions with employees? Is the intent to get more money out of them because they don't trust as independent contractors or gig workers that they will be honest with what they file? I mean, what is, in your opinion, what is the underlying reason for trying to reclassify these people?
So there's a public justification that they give, and they say, look, we're trying to combat these problems of misclassification, and we want more independent contractors to become employees, because employees have access to proper benefits and protections under the law. And so their point is there to try to make it more difficult to hire independent contractors so that companies will be forced to hire them as employees instead. Now, you point to a different secondary thing that might be going on in the background, which is this rule is and others across different states, these type of rules to make it more difficult to be an independent contractor is supported a lot and pushed a lot by labor unions. And one of the reasons is because that independent contractors legally can't engage in collective bargaining. They legally can't join a union. And so as we see the growth of more people becoming self-employed and more independent contractors and greater growth in the gig economy, that's fewer people that can join a union. And so one reason that we see labor unions pushing for this could be because they want more people to be employees, because that's more people that can collectively bargain and that could potentially join a union. And in fact, California in 2020 passed, at the time it's called California's AB 5, but it's the strictest law in the whole country about being an independent contractor. And that rule was pushed by labor unions in California.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in fact, I think as you probably rightly say, it ended up hurting people that were trying to be employed, it ended up cutting back on the number of people that would actually have work. So there was sort of a backlash situation in California, right? It restricted the ability of a lot of people to find work. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. And there was a lot of news articles that described the situation. So even outlets like the New York Times and the LA Times highlighted all the people who lost their jobs because of AB 5. So freelance musicians, writers, editors, truck drivers were leaving the state after that law went into effect. And what we did at the Mercatus Center is we actually wanted to test this from an aggregate perspective in California. So we did the first analysis of California's AB 5, looking at exactly what happened to employment and self-employment in California for those occupations that were affected by the law. And we actually found on an aggregate that AB 5 is associated with a significant decline in self-employment and overall employment in California. And specifically, we actually found a 10.5% decline for self-employed workers in California because of the law. And by the way, one interesting thing too is the intention of the law is to help more workers become employees on payroll, right? They want to, the idea is to try to get more workers not to be self-employed, but to get them on payroll for companies. But what we found in our study is that contrary to the goals of the lawmakers, we don't find evidence that payroll employment increased for those occupations in California after the law. And so what that tells us is that about 1 in 10 self-employed workers lost those, work opportunities in California. And there's no evidence of an accompanying increase for those workers who became employees in California.
Yeah, indeed. In fact, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm just saying it's quite telling because that tells us what we might expect from the Department of Labor rule nationwide. And by the way, in California, because of all these job losses and backlash that it received, California ended up exempting over 100 occupations in that state. And that, that means a lot of jobs were saved in California because there were a lot of exemptions.
Mm-hmm.
But the Department of Labor rule nationwide legally can't exempt any profession or any occupations. And so we expect some of these consequences of job losses to be far more widespread.
Sure. In fact, your research has been cited by several people in Washington in their effort to get Congress to take a look at this Department of Labor rule. And I noticed, too, people that you don't even think about, having to join something or other to do what they're doing. As an example, babysitters, or freelance, say, artists, that go, from gig to gig doing different things, and then they get paid for whatever it is, and that's the end of it, it really restricts their ability to find work. It hampers the people that would like to hire them. I mean, just common sense tells you, when you have the heavy hand of government becoming involved, you do indeed restrict the ability of these people to do what they want to do with each other. One person has a talent, the other person has a need, and you get the government involved in the middle of that, that says, before you can even do that, we need to restrict you, and you have to do this and you have to do that. No, that's not what freedom is all about. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yes, I think you're pointing to the problem here is that if there's a company that, contracts with a photographer on an irregular basis, and now the Department of Labor rule goes into effect, and that relationship between the photographer and the company now becomes illegal. So that's a job loss, that's a loss of income opportunity for that photographer. And it's not necessarily the case that the company will make the photographer an employee of the company because it might not, be enough to justify the cost, especially if they contract out with them every once in a while, not on a regular full-time basis.
Sure.
And that's really the problem that the lawmakers don't see in this rule, is that they assume that that company that irregularly contracts with a photographer will now make the photographer an employee and everything will be good. But they don't see the real side of the equation, which is they're most likely not going to make that photographer an employee because it doesn't make sense, because it's a irregular, they contract with them on an irregular basis, and there might not be enough work to justify making that photographer an employee of the organization. But as a result of the new rule, that relationship between the photographer and the company will now be illegal, so they have to let them go.
Sure.
And stop working with them.
Indeed. We're talking with Leah Palagashvili. She is a senior research director at George Mason University's Mercatus Center. And she came out with, she and I believe three of her colleagues came out with a research paper that assessed how this impact of reclassifying certain workers as employees would affect work nationwide, and she cites what's going on in California, AB5. I mean, just common sense would tell you that when you get the government involved, even in a state like in California, you're going to increase the costs for the business, which means that they will be looking for other ways of getting around bringing somebody in to do a short-term piece of work for them. And, I mean, they're going to be playing games. Let's be honest about it. They'll play games to get around this law. It just does not seem like it's a straightforward way of helping anybody in the long run. It's just restricting the ability of people to do what they want to do.
Yeah, that's right. And because of this, there are actually a lot of lawsuits that are being filed against this Department of Labor rule. So you have freelance writers, freelance journalists, a trucking business. All of those are pushing back and suing the Department of Labor for this rule, precisely for these things that you outlined, because their jobs, their livelihoods are at stake because of the Department of Labor rule. And one other thing that that you mentioned is that some of those workers will be most impacted, and businesses that will be most impacted will be smaller businesses and nonprofit organizations, because they don't have extensive legal counsel and a lot of resources and funds to either comply with the rule or push against it or lobby against it, unlike larger companies, which they do have those resources. So we expect some of the harshest consequences to impact smaller businesses who work with contractors and nonprofit organizations who work with contractors. And by the way, this was pointed out to the Department of Labor by the Small Business Administration. They submitted a public comment to the Department of Labor outlining how difficult this would be for small businesses. And the Department of Labor's basically ignored what they said and said, we don't expect any costs or job losses for small businesses.
Sure. And, you know, it's going to force businesses to kind of go underground, right? I mean, they're going to be winking and nodding. It'll be like a black market going on. They'll be it's going to continue. They're still going to do this. I mean, you can pass a law all you want, but businesses will find a way to get around it. So it's going to start making criminals out of people that, you know, just want to hire somebody for a temporary job. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, you might see some more underground babysitters and more underground tutors.
Can you imagine? Okay, sneak in the back door. Sneak in the back door after 7 p.m. tonight, okay? So nobody sees you come in and you can babysit for me. What about the idea, Leah, of overturning this now? I mean, it's apparently was passed on Monday. Is there a chance? Is there going to be some are there some legal suits that are being prepared? Mm-hmm. Or what's going on there?
There are. There's two things that are happening. First, there are at least four lawsuits that are suing the Department of Labor, and there might be it's possible that a judge will suspend the rule within the next month or two. So that's quite possible. The other thing that's going on is that there is a Congressional Review Act, both from the Senate and the House right now, that will essentially, you know, force them to stop this rule. So there's two things that are happening. It's not clear whether the Congressional Review Act will be successful or whether the lawsuits will be successful, but I will say the lawsuits seem that they have a pretty significant ground. And this part is important because all the federal agencies are required to provide a proper cost-benefit analysis of any new rule that they issue. So they have to think about what are the potential costs. And the Department of Labor said that there were no costs associated with this rule, especially for job losses. So they just assumed, you know, there's not going to be any job losses.
Right.
Which is contrary to any evidence and anecdotal evidence as well, especially what we saw in California. And so some of these lawsuits are pointing to this fact that the Department of Labor just completely ignored doing a proper cost-benefit analysis. And so it's possible that a judge will suspend this rule and say, you know, you didn't properly go through the procedure to issue a new regulation because you didn't do a proper cost-benefit analysis of the rule, because you can't just assume that the rule will have zero impact and no job losses and all of that.
Sure. Leah, something tells me you're going to be a very busy young woman for a while here as people call on you to testify about all of this. And I want to thank you for taking the time this morning to talk to us about a very, very important topic. Keep up your efforts on this, if you would.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's absolutely our pleasure, Leah. Thank you. All right. All right. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, former special counsel Robert Herr, he was before the committees yesterday. He said he did not exonerate Joe Biden from his handling of classified documents. But is the president getting special favorable treatment as opposed to the document case against Trump? We're going to talk about it.
Street pretty woman, the kind I like to meet, pretty woman. I don't believe you, you're not the truth. No one could look as good as you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. It's Wednesday, and I see that TikTok, that bill that would force the Chinese parent company to divest itself of TikTok, apparently has passed in the House. It will go on to the Senate, and we will find out from there whether or not, well, first of all, whether it will be brought up for a vote. I think it will. And whether or not it will have enough votes to pass there as well. So stay tuned on that. In the meantime, ex-special counsel Robert Herr testified yesterday that no, he did not exonerate Joe Biden in his report detailing the investigation into the mishandling of classified documents. And despite what a bunch of Democrats on the panel were saying, he kept saying, no, I did not exonerate him. Don't put words in my mouth. He said he was not exonerated. I just thought that if he went to trial, the sympathy for an old man that's forgetful would mean that he would not be convicted, to which I say, it ain't your business to decide what the jury or a judge is going to decide about whether or not Joe Biden deserves to be convicted of doing it. If you've got enough evidence that this guy is mishandling documents, push it forward and let the jury or the judge decide.
And you got to remember, when he mishandled them, he was in a different state of mind. He knew what he was doing back then. When a man goes out and say he robs a bank and he's 65 years old, and they don't catch him till he's 85. At 65, he knew what he was doing. He may not know what he's doing now at 85.
Yeah.
But the point is when he took them, he took them.
Of course. It's still a crime. It's still a crime, no matter how old you are at this point. Oh, I robbed a bank, but I was only 35 years old then. I'm 75 years old now. You can't charge me with robbing the bank now. I'm too old to be standing trial.
And all they're trying to, I think all they're really trying to show is the hypocrisy in the two situations.
Indeed. We got the master barber himself, Andrew Sorese, joining us. Andrew, did you watch any of that testimony with Robert Herr yesterday?
I was in and out of it, Paul. I was in and out of it. But, you know, the facts are simple. He had a ghostwriter writing a book about his classified information.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, this guy had done 10 times more than Donald Trump did in a secure place. Let's face the facts. Mar-a-Lago is one of the most secure places in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Locked in a safe. Locked the doors, double locked at the request. This guy was tooling around in his Corvette with documents in the back, handing them to ghostwriters. I'm sorry. This guy is guilty. They need to bring him up for trial. I don't care what his mentality is.
Yeah, and there's some people saying he intentionally released classified information to his ghostwriter. He ended up making about $8 million on the book.
That's what I'm saying. This guy's he's a scumbag. He's a criminal. He's making the mafia look like Mary Poppins. He needs to go.
Why did Robert Herr not just push this thing forward and say, okay, this guy did do this, and let's find out what
Paul,
a trial.
Let's face the fact. The guy's a Democrat.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's not the way they're treating Trump.
No, not at all. That's what I'm saying. This is all ridiculous. And you know what? If you watched the UFC fight the other night, did you see the crowd when Donald Trump walked in?
I heard about it.
They went ballistic. They loved the guy.
Yep.
And then they showed Joe Biden at his first campaign thing. They had 30 people there that had to be paid to go.
He had more of his staff there than they had actual to show up.
That's what I'm telling you. This time, this election, the last one, I know you don't believe it was stolen. I heavily believe it was stolen.
I'm not saying that I don't believe it might have been stolen. I'm saying that I don't know that there was enough information to guarantee that that was the case. But I certainly agree that there was there was hanky-panky. No, there was no question about it.
With all the information that's been withheld on everything, you think you believe what they're going to tell you? Look at the J6 committee.
Anything.
Look at the J6 committee, the information they withheld about Trump wanting the National Guard there. Come
on. You're
it's
right
all
about
a
that.
Bunch of baloney. These Democrats are nothing but socialist communists. They need to go, and Donald Trump's going to be the one that's going to do it. That's why they hate him. He's going to ruin all their plans.
And don't forget about the Russian collusion. Oh, well, we lied. Lied. Oh, well. You know.
Yeah, well, and they tried it again a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they'll keep trying it. You know, if you keep a lie going long enough, you'll get a few more people to believe it.
Yeah.
That's their philosophy. By the way, Trump holds a slim advantage right now over this latest in a new poll over Biden after they both, by the way, secured their party's nominations officially. Did you know that yesterday?
Yes, sir.
The two are now technically, the winners and will be representing their respective parties. The USA Today poll conducted with Suffolk University found that 40% of respondents favored Trump in the election, 38% favor Biden. Key finding, number of registered voters open to changing their minds. Approximately one quarter of those surveyed said they would consider switching between now and the election. 14% of likely Biden voters And it says here 15% of likely Trump voters. So there's a lot of, you know, moving around inside of these numbers.
Among, you know, Paul?
Yeah, go ahead.
First of all, the only poll these people ought to be listening to is the Barber poll, okay? That's they can keep all these other polls. Because from people I'm talking to, Trump is ahead of this guy and everything by about 90%.
Yes. Yes, I know you've got the Common Man's poll, which I do think represents a lot more straightforward information, what people really think about things. They're willing to say the truth when they talk with you, as opposed to when people call you on the phone. Your guard is up. You just don't know. People are very, very, very suspect these days.
You know, one of the things that just makes me laugh is when you've got people that go out and, or come out and say, whether it be on TV or radio, and say, you know, these people that are supporting Trump, I don't know what's wrong with them. I don't know what they see in them, and blah, 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 blah. And then you go out and interview these people that are supporting him, and they say, well, we're supporting him because he tells the truth, and we do this, and he's done this, and he's done this, and whatnot. He got us the vaccine, not Joe Biden, and the economy was going great, and gas was blah, blah, blah. And then you get those people that come in and say, I'm not voting for him. I hate that guy, but all the things he's done.
Johnson, I know.
All the bad things he's done.
You never hear them say what he's done wrong.
Exactly. And he goes, what are the bad things he's done?
They just make a general comment. I heard a guy on, you know, I listen on, in the morning to C-SPAN, and they have a call-in. And this guy calls in, and he says, and Donald Trump told 30,000 lies. The guy says, you know, it's documented. He lied 30,000 times. I'm thinking, okay, I want to hear you give 20 lies that Donald Trump said real quick, just 20 of the 30,000. I want to hear you tell me what it was he was lying about. These, I mean, they just say the most ridiculous things, and nobody holds them accountable for it. Go ahead.
You know, Paul, an old Italian man told me one time, look what happens when two fools meet. You got Biden and you got the fools that vote for him. Look what happened when they met. The country's in turmoil. This guy was right. You can't talk to these people. They don't have a brain, okay? The people that are talking like that about Biden, believe me, they're on the take. They're on the government take. They're taking everything they can from him. Have you watched Jesse Waters lately when he's interviewing the young people on spring break?
Yeah.
The young people, let me tell you something. They're all pro Trump.
I think so. I think they can, you know, they're like the kid in the hens Christian Andersen thing that does the Emperor's New Clothes. You know, they're more honest about things. They said that, the Emperor ain't wearing no clothes.
Like they said, we can't afford a house today. We're lucky if we can find a job when we're done with school. This guy's done no good at all. These are the young people talking. There is hope for them. I didn't think there was any, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Well, now, you also have the media that stirs things up and stupid things. And I had to bring this up because this morning on Fox, ding, 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 you know, they got that breaking news and whatever.
Oh.
And Vladimir Putin threatens to use nuclear weapons. Now, this is on Fox.
Yep.
And, you know, then you're like, oh, no, now what's going on? Well, Putin was, you know, came out and said that if he's attacked in any way, he's going to use nuclear weapons. Duh. I mean, listen, if the United States is attacked, do you think we're going to throw lollipops? No. It's the same thing. If we were attacked and we had no, we were backed into a corner, we would use nuclear weapons. We've done it before. In fact, we're the only nation.
You got to realize, who your president is, buddy.
Oh no, I'm just saying.
I know what you're saying.
It's both sides. It really is both sides.
You're right.
The stupidity, because you turn around and go, oh well. So now you're thinking Putin's crazy. He's going to use nuclear weapons. He merely said if he's attacked, he's going to use them.
Putin is more sane than our president. I got news for you.
I mean, look at Donald Trump.
He makes more sense, even though we don't like what he says.
What did Donald Trump say when he was in office? That if Iran attacked us, they would become a parking lot.
That's right.
Hey, by the way, we got some breaking news here. A Fulton County judge has quashed 6 counts in the Georgia election interference case against Donald Trump. Judge Scott McAfee said in an order this morning that the state failed to allege sufficient detail for 6 counts of, quote, solicitation of violation of oath by public officer. The court's concern is less that the state has failed to allege sufficient conduct of the defendants. In fact, it has alleged an abundance. However, the lack of detail concerning an essential legal element is, in the underground opinion, fatal. This is what the judge wrote. So, again, this judge has dismissed six counts against Donald Trump in the Fat Fannie Willis election interference case. So we'll see where that goes.
Well, you know what he's doing? This guy is pacifying the Trump people because he's going to end up letting her off of the hook. You mark my words.
You think so?
Oh, Paul, come on. It's election time. She's black. That isn't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
and he should. He should throw her out. He should disbar her.
I think
and take back back that $680,000.
I think they're going to take her off the case.
Absolutely.
I really do. I don't think there's any way he can get around this.
And
it is so obvious. So obvious that that these people don't deserve to be running this.
And because she's up for re-election,
Was it obvious in New York about Donald Trump, yet the idiot fines him $360 million?
Well,
is everything obvious there too?
I think it is, and I think that it's not going to hold up.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
But, you know, beside the fact...
It's terrible. What they're doing is terrible. It's wrong.
I think Trump should be reimbursed for every penny that he's had to put out for all these trials.
Yeah. I agree with you.
I still laughed the other day when there was a commercial. I think it was, I don't know if it was on Facebook or whatever, that Donald Trump says, hey, you know, if you can help out with 5, 10, and I want to say 5, 10, 366 million, I can...
We would certainly appreciate
just
it.
Just to get a laugh out, I think you should do that.
Yeah,
you know?
That would
just
be funny.
Like along, you know, with the mugshot and all that stuff. You got a good sense of humor about
there
that.
There you go.
Give me $1, $5, or $366 million, whatever you can push.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, if Trump wanted to raise money, if I was him, I would say, listen, you guys put in the donations. When it hits $356 million, I'll shave my head.
I'd like to see that. Hey, listen to this, and I think you'll kind of like this. A Kansas judge has ruled in favor of the state's conservative attorney general and determined that prohibiting sex changes on your driver's license and your state ID does not violate the rights of individuals who identify as transgender. In other words, you can go ahead and, you know, try to change your sex, but biologically, you're going to remain, if you're a woman, you remain a woman on your driver's license. And if you were a man, you remain a man on your driver's license. It's going to show you as that. You go ahead and do whatever you want, but your rights aren't be violated.
Let me ask you something. If you're pulled over and put in jail and you're a trans woman, where do they put you? I'm serious.
That's a good question.
You have a good time.
I'm serious. I mean, they don't put you in your own jail. I'd like my own cell, please.
Hey, they don't have a special transgender jail I know. Maybe in San Francisco they do.
Do they just check your plumbing and then direct you and you're going right there and that's all there is to
it? I think so.
You know,
if they had any common sense, they would.
The transgendered population is probably 0.0-1%.
Yeah, you're right about that,
I'm so tired of hearing about that crap. It's unbelievable.
Exactly
the country's
right.
Falling apart and they're worried about a guy going to wear a dress.
If I ever go to jail, I'm going to identify as a woman because I'm going to spend some good time in there at least.
There you go. Hey, did you know that only Kansas and Florida are the states that currently prevent sex changes on state-issued ID cards? Everybody else is allowing it. I mean, thank God we're in Florida, and thank God for the people in Kansas, the only two states, when it comes to this, with any common sense.
It's amazing, Paul, that the other 49 states are that crazy.
Yeah, I agree. It's crazy. It really is. It is always a pleasure, Andrew, to have you on. You make too much sense.
No, Paul. Stop by after work or after your show, and we'll talk a little bit more, buddy.
All right,
I'll see you then. All right, my friend.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right, buddy. Take care. There he goes. The master barber himself. All right, we are going to take our final break, and when we come back, among other things, the top 10 all-time greatest movie detectives.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Another Saturday night that I ain't got nobody. I got some money cause I just got paid. Now how I wish I had someone to talk to. I'm in an awful way.
Hey, we're back with the final segment of Freedom Works. We deeply appreciate your being with us. And we're here, by the way, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. But we know that you're busy during the week, and 10 o'clock in the morning, maybe you got stuff you got to do. So thanks to Big Ed, all of our shows are on podcast, which means if you go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and click on the podcast button at the top of the site, it'll open up all of our shows available to you. Ed's got them all there. Most recent show is at the top, and he lists who the guest is and what we're going to talk about with the guest and the top 10. Bless him. OurFreedomWorks.com. And while we are at it, I want to plug a program that comes on Thursdays, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, Voice of Reason with Ed Golley. Ed's a good guy. Now, he doesn't agree with us. In fact, we're probably exactly polar opposite when we come to politics. But I'd like you to listen to the show. He's very interesting. His show is called The Voice of Reason. It is on every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. You never know. One of these days, I might pop up on that show again. Okay, Ed, before we get into our top 10, which is a good one, I think we've been hovering around movies because at the beginning of the week, they had the Oscars and everything. So we've been looking at different things that go on in the movies. But this week, if you are a college basketball fan, this may be your all-time favorite week. There are so many tournaments that are going on. I happen to be a Big East tournament guy because my alma mater, Marquette, plays for plays in the Big East. So they got all these tournaments that are starting. And then after that, of course, they call the Big Dance is the where they select 64 teams to go into the national championship battle. And to me, that's always fun. So that's going on. Don't know if you've got anything going on. We got baseball, I guess. We still have, yeah, what?
A couple more weeks of spring training left.
How many more?
I think it's a couple of weeks.
More weeks, and then we get roughly into baseball.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that sounds good to me. So let's get into our top 10. I think this is an interesting one. And Ed, I want to find out, you have to listen. I want to see if you'll decide who was the top 10 all-time number one greatest movie detective, okay? You may already have an idea, but hold on till we get to number one. So here we go. By the way, this comes from Collider.com. They actually did some extensive work somehow to come up with what they think are the 10 greatest movie detectives. I want to see how many, Ed, you will know from, you know, and they will be familiar to you. So here we go, number 10. You know who Jake Gittes was?
No.
Jake Gittes was the detective in a movie called Chinatown in 1974. It was played by Jack Nicholson. Did you ever see that movie?
No.
Oh, you're kidding. Mm-hmm. You'd love it. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding. It's a great movie. Some say it's the greatest noir movie ever made. Jack Nicholson plays the detective, a private detective hired to catch an adulterer
However, he ends up getting entangled in a web of lies, corruption, and murder in Los Angeles. All right, number nine. Do you know who Rick Deckard was?
Nope.
In Blade Runner, Harrison Ford played that character. You ever heard of the movie Blade Runner?
Sounds familiar.
A 1982 movie, excuse me, takes place in a dystopian Los Angeles of 2019. It was made in 1982, so that would have been in the future, where the powerful Tyrell Corporation has created replicants, synthetic humans, to labor in space colonies. All right, number eight, Harry Callahan.
Oh, of course, that Dirty Harry.
There you go.
I knew he had to be in there.
He is. He's number eight. Dirty Harry, 1971, set in San Francisco during the time when the Scorpio Killer terrorizes the city by shooting defenseless people and extorting money. Number seven, Clarice Starling. Do you remember her?
Silence of the Lambs.
That's correct. The Silence of the Lambs, 1991, psychological horror film. Jodie Foster and Anthony Hopkins probably playing the most creepy,
I gotta tell you,
bad guy of all time in that movie.
When that movie came out on DVD, yes, DVD, I had put a DVD player on layaway at Radio Shack because it was $800. It was one of those four-head things, super slow-mo.
Oh, yeah.
Super sound, and I had the bass and everything. When they go to the cell and that bass drops in, it goes, brrrr. The whole wall shook and you fell. The doorbell would ring and my grandfather would get up and answer the door.
It was one scary movie.
Yes, but I remember that great sound in that movie.
Yes, indeed. Number six. David Mills and William Somerset. I would not have remembered this one, but it was called Seven. It was made in 1995. Oh, yeah. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, it was a good Morgan one. Morgan Freeman.
Yes.
And
Brad Pitt.
Yes.
You got it. Very good. It follows a disillusioned investigator, Morgan Freeman, who is close to retirement, and his new colleague, played by Brad Pitt, recently transferred, as they work to catch a serial killer before he can complete a string of killings. It was based on the Seven Deadly Sins, by
ended
the way.
Nasty.
It was a nasty movie.
Yeah, found his head.
It was a good movie.
Found his wife's head in a basket at the end of the movie.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. Yeah. Now you gave it away.
Oh, well.
Number five is Philip Marlowe. That's an old-time detective. He was in The Big Sleep. That was made in 1946. It was based on a 1939 novel by Raymond Chandler. The Big Sleep follows a private detective played by Humphrey Bogart. It's Philip Marlowe, who is hired by a family to help resolve their daughter's gambling issues. All right, number four, Loki. Do you know who that one was?
No.
A movie called Prisoners in 2013. Prisoners revolves around the kidnapping of two young girls in Pennsylvania and the accompanying police search for the alleged kidnapper, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, I guess it is. All right, number three, Hercule Poirot.
Okay.
You don't know that one?
No.
He's the famous Agatha Christie detective. He was in Death on the Nile in 2021, based on a 1937 novel by Agatha Christie that continues to follow the adventures of the Belgian detective. Number two. I guess it's pronounced Benoit Blanc. Do you know who that is?
Nope.
A movie called Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery in 2022. Daniel Craig returns to his role as Detective Benoit Blanc in Glass Onion after the success of the first one, Knives Out.
30 seconds.
Okay. And now, what do you think is the number one detective in movies?
I had Dirty Harry.
Sherlock Holmes. Yeah, Sherlock Holmes, the most well-known investigator of all time, and specifically the movie was Sherlock Holmes, and it was played by Robert Downey. So there you go. All right. Thank you very, very much for listening. We will be back on Friday. Remember, freedom works.
Right in the wagon.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. I'm Steve Kathan. House action moments ago on a bill that would effectively ban TikTok.
The bill cracking down on ByteDance passed 352 to 65, with lawmakers such as Texas Republican Representative Dan Crenshaw voicing the security concerns that have worried many in Washington.
When you're in China, you have to do whatever the Chinese Communist Party says you have to do.
But Democratic California Representative Sidney Camlogger-Dove spoke for many who support the app.
Creatives, artists, content creators, and businesses in my district will get caught in the crossfire of this bill.
Allison Keyes, CBS News, Washington.
Not clear when the Senate will take it up.